stand against the wiles of the devil. For we are not contending against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the equipment of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith, with which you can quench all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that utterance may be given me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak.
Service on Sundays to get everybody involved because we're really small, and I can learn just as much from you guys in the pews as you can learn from me. And so I want to explore that, and I want to bring that up. And so today we're going to be talking about the armor of God. And what we'll do is we'll take a little guy, little stick figure, we'll call him Jack, because I just love his dog, Jackson. I've always wanted to name a dog Jack, so we're going to call our stick figure guy Jack today.
You can borrow one.
No. I have enough yard waste to leave.
I do it.
And so what we're going to do today is, like, you know, my artist skills, my skills at drawing are nowhere near Don's, but I'm going to try here, okay? So we're going to kind of look at these things the way Paul brought them out. So, like, you got the belt of truth. So we'll put a little cross in there because truth, cross for the truth. And then you got the breastplate of righteousness. A little heart. Something else, right? Yeah, okay. Shoes of peace. Who has ever gone on a really long walk with horrible footwear? Okay, so that shows you how important shoes are. We'll put little treads. Put a little butterfly wing or something. Okay. There we go. Yeah, okay, what's next? Shield. Shield of faith. This one's going to be heat. So we'll do that. Draw a shield. Okay. There. We're getting there. Sword. Man, could you imagine what it'd be like to be a soldier back in those days and have to carry all this stuff? It's like, we're just like belt, breastplate, shoes, sword, shield.
You still fall down, you probably couldn't get back up.
Okay, so there's a sword-ish. Helmet. Sure.
Shouldn't that be up on top?
No, that is not Pac-Man.
Well, is that under by the screen?
But maybe if we thought like Pac-Man, we could go along and just knocking all these people around us, you know? But there's one really key point that Paul puts in this, and I'm going to kind of put this at the top, because even though it's in the middle and in that kind of order, I think it's the most important. Anybody use emojis on their phones? Uh-huh. And anybody see that one? It's kind of like the praying hands or the high five. Yeah. And Paul calls us to pray in the Spirit at all times, right? So what my take on that is none of this does us any good if we're not doing that first. Can we all agree on that?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's break it down for Jack. Praying, I think, is not only a heart thing, but a mind thing, and just an all-around thing, right? So let's... Why is truth important? Why do we need a belt of truth? Why do we need truth around us when we go into battle? When we go into
belt
spiritual
just
battle?
Fell down around his ankle.
He's a homie. He's a homie, and so he wears them a little low. Okay, so it's totally natural. Here, if it makes me feel better, I can draw his legs a little bit longer. There he doesn't look so short statured. But truth. Why is Paul calling us to put on the belt of truth? And truth is the first thing that he points out in this when he says, take up the full armor of God. He starts with truth.
Because the first tool of the devil is the lie.
Okay, is that what you're gonna say?
I was gonna say because deception's all around us and
because truth wipes out lies. Right?
Give Satan a chance to get in.
Yeah. Truth covers lies. You know what?
I agree.
I've been told some pretty painful things in my life. But they were never as painful as when I found them out to originally be a lie. So when you lie to me and then I find out the lie, it hurts a lot more than it does if you would have just told me the painful truth to begin with.
How much does it hurt when they tell you the truth finally and you realize you missed it?
That's worth beating your head against the wall sometimes, but...
We also lie to ourselves. I think that's the hardest thing is when we go through convincing ourselves what we're doing is right or the... Mm-hmm. And it's a lie to ourselves.
Well, and there's a saying on the street, don't lie to me, you can lie to yourself.
Yeah.
Which is not right.
Right. No, but the thing about it is the devil will use us against ourselves more than he'll use anybody else against us. And that's when it comes into shortcomings, you know. In the Genesis process, which is a relapse prevention process, some of you from Anacortes might know it as Amy and Alan Mueller's process that they use in the recovery homes. Danielle and I have both gone through the process twice. We're both trained counselors in that. And there's this one part in that process that always sticks out to me. It's like, which lie am I believing? Am I buying believing the projected lie, which is the lie that somebody tells me about myself? Or am I believing the survival lie, which is the lie I tell myself about myself in order to survive and not feel pain? So, right. So when we lead with truth, it's going to cover the lies. It's going to be covering the lies that have been told to us. But it's also not going to be easy. It's going to be painful a lot. And that's okay. Because we have God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit who are the ultimate healers and redeemers. So, okay. So there's that one. Breastplate of righteousness. Righteousness to me is a dirty word. I don't know why. It just seems so egotistical. Like, look at me, I'm Mr. Righteous. Right, but righteous is not a dirty word. It's a beautiful word. And so, obviously, the breastplate of righteousness, Paul wants us to cover ourselves in righteousness. Why?
To be a good example.
To be a good example? Why else?
To be right.
To please God. To do what we're asked to do.
To please God? Okay.
And do the right thing.
To be right.
Does righteousness mean the right thing?
It's like God's thing is the right
thing. Yeah.
Well, yeah. If our minds and hearts are the right thing,
Yeah.
I don't know if that makes sense. We can miss heaven by 18 days.
Yeah,
absolutely. So righteousness is the opposite of wrongfulness.
Righteousness is often the opposite of wrongfulness. Okay. So why? Why does God want to protect our heart with righteousness? There's a reason I drew the heart here. It's our heart, right? The breastplate covers our torso, which is all of our vital, important organs, right? It's the barrier between the things that keep us alive.
We're deceiving ourselves and believing that what we're doing is right when we are really set in that righteousness.
How often in the Old Testament did Israel find themselves in a pickle because of their hardness of heart, because of their turning away from God? God never turned away from Israel or turned his back on the covenants. He upheld them even when they turned away from him. So we need this to protect us from hardness of heart. So, while righteousness, you know, righteousness, it just takes me back to like when I saw Lethal Weapon as a kid for the first time, and somebody said self-righteous so-and-so. And so ever since that day, I've looked at righteousness as a dirty word. But when you flip it, and God wants us to lead with righteousness to protect our heart, it's actually the doorway to compassion. I'm going to come help you. I'm going to come visit you. I'm going to lift you up out of your gutter because that's what God is calling me to do. And I'm going to do it with a little bit of a chip on my shoulder so everybody takes notice. This is what God has called us to do. To not let our hearts turn hard. To not let our hearts grow cold. He wants that compassion in us, in everybody, in everything, in every step that we take throughout the day. Every person that we come in contact with, he wants us to have a soft heart. You ever get cut off by somebody and you're just yelling at them through your windshield? My encouragement to you is to pray for them. Exude that righteousness, even when nobody's looking. Because God's looking. Okay.
You lost me on the chip on your shoulder.
Yeah.
And if you have one sometimes, some people are going to try to knock it off.
Right.
Which is going to cause.
So, chip on the shoulder is a bad terminology. What I should have said is with a purpose. Okay, so, with a purpose. We go into situations with a purpose to bring forth the kingdom of God to help those who are suffering. You're right, chip on the shoulder is a bad analogy. Shoes of peace. Woo. Okay. Why is footwear important?
Can't get very far without them.
Can't get very far without them.
Well, if I may say real quick, in my opinion, God designed us to walk and run. That's even scientists say that our bodies are designed.
But if we're not taking care of our tires,
yes, exactly.
Like how many people have tried to slam on your brakes with bald tires? What happens?
I just did.
Right? Okay. So we need to care for our feet, and we need to.
That's why you put tires on them. Okay.
That's exactly why he's got. No, that's kind of more like pizza cutters.
Consider it the base. It's the base.
So the enemy wants us to think that the spreading of good news is pointless, right? So a couple of weeks ago, I was in the jail. I was doing this very Bible study with the inmates in there, and I had this light bulb go off. I didn't want to go that day. I love going into the jail. I love going to see the people who are being held captive. They've been kidnapped, literally. They've been kidnapped and they're being held against their will. And it's my job as a chaplain to go in there and to bring that good news, but I didn't want to go. It's almost like Satan that day took my shoes of peace, which I'm supposed to strap on and carry to bring forth the good news, took them and hid them from me. And it wasn't until I was about in my second or third pod that the light bulb went off as I was doing it. And I was like, man, I need to lace those things up tighter. I'm here where God has called me to come and share his good news, and I'm not even wearing the shoes of peace, and I'm teaching on it. I need to tighten those things up.
Did you hear Ken's comment? He had a good thought.
Yes.
About why the shoes of peace.
Yes, why the shoes of peace.
Well, if I may, just generally, I kind of think that it's a good base.
Yeah.
It's even a human base.
Yeah.
Even a spiritual base.
Yeah.
Because if you can't stand, that's what holds you. Your foundation.
Oh, right.
Foundation. Because, you know, I studied a lot of art studios.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, and that's a lot of what we studied was that true base.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't know, maybe it's off the wall.
That makes perfect sense, because if our base is peace, then we're going to go in.
If it's not sturdy, strong, stable with God, per se, you don't have the sturdy base. Kind
of. The thing I ask for all week is the peace of Christ to be with me all week. So that's my foundation. That's my peace. You hit it right on the head.
That's how I kind of
work. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, now we have this guy, the shield of faith, which kind of covers everything. Why is faith important?
Bounces them arrows off.
Bounces them arrows off, right?
The devil's swinging them, wham, wham, wham. It's just that faith, man.
But I really think Paul was pointing to something. I totally agree with you. But I really think that Paul was pointing to something so important in this. So back when these Roman soldiers would lace up and go into battle, they fought in what is called a phalanx. So basically, their shield did not protect them. Their shield protected the person next to them. Right? And then the people, and when the fiery darts from the enemy would come, what they would do is they would wrap their shields in wet leather. So when the arrows hit the shield, they would extinguish the flames with the wet leather. Well, arrows come in from overhead, right? And then my shield's supposed to protect the guy next to me. That kind of leaves me vulnerable, right? Until the guy behind you comes up and puts a shield on top of your head. So when we're fighting, when we're in the trenches and we're fighting the enemy, to try to stand and do it alone is suicide. That's where community comes in. Every one of you, at one point or time or another, has helped me lift my shield of faith when I couldn't lift it. Has held your shield over my head when those arrows were coming in and I couldn't protect myself.
So may I say, united we stand, divided we fall.
Community.
The kind.
Community.
We work together, we stand together.
We fight together. We pray for each other.
More strength.
We lift each other when the others are down. It's community. Because if we're just a community of one, we're not going to go anywhere.
Well, even if you're a community of way more than one, I would not avoid the meaning of the phalanx, which is the interlocking shield of everybody.
Yes. Yeah.
If we don't all agree or find a way to agree, there will be holes in our armor.
Yeah.
Maybe somebody handed their shield because you're just not quite.
Yeah, exactly.
Either for you, or like you were saying, somebody else.
I would see faith as kind of like, you know, there's doubt and there's faith. And in cartoons, when they'd be like running along, and they'd be running over in the air, and then all of a sudden they look down and realize, oh, that's doubt. You know, if they would have kept with faith, they would have kept going. Because once you start kind of doubting that what you're doing or what you're believing is the right thing, then suddenly you're like, I can't do it.
And if I may say real quick, in my last church, a gentleman brought a pitcher in, and it was a picture of a goat leaping from one rock to another. And he was midair. And he was like, that kind of describes faith. Because he's leaping like, you know, they can trust that he's going to make it to the other side.
A leap of faith.
He's just taking it on, you know, but I don't know that at all.
I think with the faith, too, it's either the other things so far we've fastened on, but faith you have to hold on to. It's something you've got to decide and hang on to, and, you know, because...
That's what I was thinking. The main difference between the shield and the other pieces of armor is that you use it. You deliberately position it where, as you're, you know, strap on a helmet, strap on your footwear and your breastplate and so forth. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hope that it's in the right place.
Right.
The shield, you can use it.
Yeah.
Knowing and trusting you.
Believing that it's going to protect you.
There it comes.
Okay. Sword of the Spirit. Or, that was right there, the Israel hand. Sword of the Spirit. Why is that weapon important? Why is the sword of the Spirit important?
It's our strength.
It's our strength?
It's God's presence in our lives.
Okay.
As he called it the paraclete. He would be, which is a Greek word for an advocate, basically.
Holy Spirit.
Your attorney.
Yeah.
This is bringing God to your aid in technicolor in real life.
Yes. Yeah.
Or can put fear to the evil.
Yeah. So, the sword can be used as offensive or defensive, right?
Yeah.
You can attack with it, or you can protect yourself with it. Which one do you think God is calling us to do? Protect ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
To be rooted in Scripture. To be rooted in our faith. Because you know what? There's somebody out there that knows Scripture better than any of us could ever imagine, and he'll use it against us. You can see that in the temptation of Jesus. Okay. Finally, we have the helmet of salvation. Which in those days was mainly a tool of identifying a soldier's allegiance and who they fought for, right? Because you can see the helmets over everything else. But why else is the helmet of salvation important?
To protect our minds.
Yeah. To protect our minds, right? Right? You guys ever feel like you got somebody on your shoulder whispering in?
Oh, a lot of them. Yeah. It could be my neighbor just trying to talk to me.
Who knows? But think about it. If we take this helmet of salvation and we put it on and we cover our ears, we stop the static from the outside, the negativity coming in, the saying, the stuff that says, hey, don't trust that guy. Or, hey, don't take time to get to know this individual. Hey, I found a flaw in you, so I'm just going to write you off because that makes my life easier. That's not what God calls us to. God calls us to ignore all that static, get involved in community, put on all of this armor, and step forth. So, just to kind of recap, in order for all of this to work, I honestly believe that we need to start here with prayer.
But if I may say, still, if our minds and hearts aren't in the right place, we can pray as much as we want, in my opinion.
Prayer, I think, gets in the right place.
But you know what I mean? If we don't love God, accept Him truly, He doesn't do it for us.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what I'm saying? Because He can knock all He wants.
Stand up.
Yeah.
Here's a little bonus to this, I guess. When you take yourself, when you take your little egg nucleus, right, and you have zero distractions, and you have that one-on-one direct relationship with God, nothing gets in the way, right? But, okay, so, say you got some stuff going on, you know, session isn't getting along, so that takes your head out there, right? Or somebody in your pinochle group has got a different opinion in politics. And so then you start to be like, well, man, if they could just see things from my point of view, right? Or Or like for us, you know?
Not enough money to pay the bills.
Exactly, not enough money to pay the bills. Well, oh, wait a minute, so now you just got three things that, you know, God wants you to pray about that. God wants you to pray about that, and God wants you to pray about that. God wants you to take all of that stuff to Him. But I don't know about the rest of you, so often I can just be like, you know what, that's my stuff. I'm going to hold on to it. I don't want to give it to you. And then other stuff happens, like, you know, car repair, gas to get to work, you know, rent's due, mortgages due, groceries, everything. Oh, I got to help with the grandkids. I got to do this. I got to do that. And all of those are real everyday worries. But if we don't start with prayer going into it, the enemy's winning. And what that does is that just opens up holes, like Ken was saying, for the enemy to come in and attack us out of court. So when we go into everything with prayer first, it's going to give us that one-way relationship with God.
And if I may say, through some of my studies, we used to call it black matter. All the stuff going on, you know, all the things around us, deal with it.
So, Father, yes.
Oh, just one quick comment. When we talked about the sword,
yes,
of righteousness,
sword is spirit.
Spirit,
yes,
which is the word of God, is yeah. what Paul writes. So, I don't think we quite said that, and so that's a pretty strong. To me, that was a surprising, when I just heard it and read it again today, I was thinking, huh, the Spirit, I've always thought of, you know, the helper that God sends to us, sort of, even if we don't ask for it, but the Word, you've got to go out of your way to find it, and to hear it, and to read it, and so forth. So it was a little... It felt like two different things to me, and I was just surprised that they were coupled together in the armor.
Yeah.
The armor of God.
Like Ken was saying, the Holy Spirit is our paraclete, our advocate, our attorney, mm-hmm. The one that goes to the Father for us, but also goes out into the world for us. So, Father, thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for Paul's description of your protection and your armor, Lord. I just pray that whenever any of us feel like we are unable to put on your armor, that your Holy Spirit, your paraclete, comes and helps us step in. I want to thank you for this community and the way that they help me hold my shield of faith when I am struggling. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to move into a time of communion, and I got some stuff for you guys. So we do this pretty cool communion liturgy.
Yeah. how we have been living our lives. God invites us here just as we are. God's love for us is so strong that God became one of us, so that when we put our trust in Jesus, we are rescued from the rules of darkness and enter into his abundant life, even now and forevermore.
So come to the table and remember the story of how this meal began.
On the night when Jesus was betrayed and arrested, he was eating dinner with his friends. While they were eating, he took a loaf of bread, said a blessing, broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is for you. Take and eat it, and remember me."
After they had eaten, Jesus took a cup of wine and said, "This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood for the forgiveness of sin. Drink it, all of you, and remember me."
Gracious Father, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these, your gifts of bread and juice, the ordinary things of the world, that Jesus Christ will make holy, that the bread we break and the cup we share may be the union of the body and blood of Jesus.
So Naomi and I will come around. She'll come around with the bread, and I'll come around with the grape juice. This is the body of Christ broken for you, and this is the blood of Jesus shed for you in the world. So hold on to your bread, and I'll come along behind Naomi, and you can dip and take communion that way. So Naomi, this is the body of Christ broken for you.
a word. In other words, that's serving the bread and the juice. Almighty God,
you provide true bread from heaven in your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Strengthen us who have received the gifts of his body and blood through your Holy Spirit, that we may live in him and he in us. Fill us afresh with the power and love of his endless life, that we may take him to a broken and hungry world.
Amen. May the Father be with you protecting, may Jesus be with you directing, may the Spirit be with you strengthening forever and evermore. The peace of all peace be yours today in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Having been refreshed and renewed by the gifts of Christ's body and blood, let us go forth in love and serve the Lord.
Amen. Thanks be to God.
So now it's time for us to share our prayers. Our prayers of the people. Just share aloud or silently, and then we're going to conclude after everybody has had a chance to